What is it we desperately need in these confusing days? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Now, I want you to open your heart today to truth, because the need of this hour, beyond the shadow of any doubt, is truth. There is cowardice, and there may be some today who are afraid of the truth. There is laziness that accepts part of the truth. There is arrogance that thinks it knows all of the truth. And there is true humility before God that opens one's heart so that you might receive what the Holy Spirit of God wants to teach. Now, I want to say there are three tremendous truths that you cannot learn in school.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding. You know, there are some things no pastor or Bible teacher can effectively teach. You can read all the studies, you can do all the research, and listen to all the sermons. But there are certain concepts and truths which only the Holy Spirit can teach. In fact, soul-winning evangelist and pastor Adrian Rogers said, "I can teach truth, but only the Word of God can impart truth." If you have your Bible, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. We'll begin in verse 8, as Adrian Rogers reveals three things you cannot learn in school.
And I want you to take God's Word today and turn, please, to John chapter 16. And I want to talk to you about the convicting, convincing power of the Holy Spirit. The title of the message, Three Things That You Cannot Learn in School. Now, thank God for school. But there's some things that no school teacher can teach you, for that matter. There's some things that no pastor can teach you, no Sunday school teacher can teach you, but only the Holy Spirit can teach you. Now, men, women, boys, and girls, by nature, are stunningly ignorant. I think of Nicodemus. He was a master in Israel, a ruler of the Jews. Jesus had to remonstrate with him and said, "Oh, aren't you a master in Israel? And yet you don't know these things?" Jesus was talking to him about spiritual things. Now, I hope that you'll open your heart today to this truth. Now, this is truth that only the Holy Spirit can give you. You say, "Well, Pastor, if only the Holy Spirit can give this truth, then why are you preaching?" Because He uses human instruments. He uses the Word of God. But He is the teacher. I've said many times, I can preach truth, but only He can impart truth. Now look in John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Now, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the divine Paraclete. Jesus said, "I am going to heaven, but I will send the Holy Spirit to take my place." Now, notice in verse 8, "And when He is come," that is the Holy Spirit, "when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now, the word reprove actually means convict or convince. He will convict, He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Those are three things you'll never learn in school. The truth concerning sin, the truth concerning righteousness, and the truth concerning judgment. Notice verse 9, "Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, I want you to open your heart today to truth, because the need of this hour, beyond the shadow of any doubt, is truth. Truth is the issue. There is cowardice, and there may be some today who are cowards, who are afraid of the truth. There is laziness that accepts part of the truth. There is arrogance that thinks it knows all of the truth. And there is true humility before God that opens one's heart so that you might receive what the Holy Spirit of God wants to teach. Now, I want to say there are three tremendous truths that if you've never seen them, you've never been saved. You say, well, I understand sin, righteousness, and judgment. Maybe you do intellectually. But until the Holy Spirit of God teaches you these things, you will never know them. Now, let's think of them one at a time. Three things that you'll never learn in school. First of all, deals with the conception of sin. What is sin? Look in verse 9. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has come to convince men of sin. Now, watch it. Because they believe not on me. Now, the Bible teaches that a man is, and a woman, a boy, a girl, a human being, is a sinner for three basic reasons. First of all, he is a sinner because of what he is by nature. He is a natural born sinner. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 that he is by nature a child of wrath. Your little grandson, your little granddaughter, your precious newborn baby is by nature a child of wrath. Now, the Holy Spirit of God has to remove a certain kind of ignorance in our heart. We think that men are wicked and sinful because of what they do. We think a man is a sinner because he lies, because he steals, because he commits adultery, or because he kills. He is not a sinner because he does these things. He does these things because he is a sinner. A man is not a liar because he tells lies. He tells lies because he's a liar. A man is not a thief because he steals. He steals because he is a thief. These things, Jesus said, come out of the heart. I've told you before, if you find an apple with a wormhole, you needn't worry all that much. It doesn't mean there's a worm in the apple. It means there was a worm in the apple. The worm did not eat his way in, he ate his way out. The worm was born in the apple. You say, how did he get in there? The egg was laid in the blossom. Then that worm was hatched and ate his way out of that apple. Now, there is in the very blossom of human nature a thing that the Bible calls sin. What we see coming out is what has been born on the inside. You see, a man is a sinner because of what he is. If there's a dog that's rabid, that dog is killed. Perhaps he's not bitten anybody. Why is he killed? Not because of what he has done, but what he is capable of doing. You see, the sin that we're capable of doing is the sin that is down in our hearts, latent, that God sees whether it ever comes to the surface or not, whether the worm ever gets to the surface or not, whether the dog ever bites anybody or not. And that's the reason that reformation will never do for sin. You tell a man he's a sinner, if he's a man of this world, without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he says, well, I'll do better, I'll quit. Maybe he's a drunkard. And he says, well, I won't drink anymore. Maybe he's an adulterer. And he says, I will not commit adultery anymore. Take a log out of the forest. Cut it down and bring it to the sawmill. That log may be crooked. Put it on the cradle there in the sawmill and run it through that sawmill. And the saw, that big buzzing blade, cuts off one side. Turn that log, run it through again, and it'll cut off the other side. Turn it again and cut off the other. And then finally, you have a log from the outside, perfectly square, perfectly straight, but look at it from the end, and the heart is still crooked. That's the way men are. That's what reformation is. You may clean up the outside. You may say, well, I am good. I am as straight and square as a man can be. But the Bible says of your heart that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Therefore, if a man is a drunkard and he stops drinking without getting saved, he'll go to hell sober. What I'm trying to say is this, that man has a problem, and the problem is on the inside, and you might as well admit it, you are a sinner not primarily because of what you do, but because of what you are. Now, people have tried to explain away sin. The evolutionist says that man is a sinner because he hadn't had sufficient time to develop. The environmentalist says that man is a sinner because he's been molded and shaped by sources on the outside, and what he needs is a better atmosphere. The educator says there is no such thing as sin. It is only ignorance. And if we could educate a man, we would be able to deal with his sin. But let me tell you what a Minnesota Crime Commission report said, studying the matter of juvenile delinquency. I want you parents to listen to this. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous if he were not so helpless. He's dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, if given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy every one of them, every child would grow up a criminal. That's your little baby. You say, not my little baby. Yes, your little baby. He is by nature a child of wrath. Now, why is a man a sinner? He is a sinner, number one, because of what he is. And then because of what he is, he does what he does. Now, if you say, well, I take umbrage at the fact that you say that I'm a sinner by nature. All right, then let's talk about what you do. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I want you to say in your heart, not even me. Agree with God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Folks, get that in your heart. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, your nature is the poisoned well. Your sins that you do are the poisoned bitter water that comes out of that well. You say, well, I don't kill and I don't steal. What about your thought life? Jesus said lust is adultery. Jesus said hate is murder. Jesus destroyed a civilization with a flood because of the imaginations of men's hearts. Now, you know, the word sin has gone out of vogue today. We have redefined sin and defined it out of existence. Do you know what the word abortion used to mean? It used to mean a miscarriage. If a baby inadvertently died in the mother's womb, that was a sad and a tragic thing, and they said, well, that baby was aborted. What the real word is not abortion. It is infanticide, killing a baby. But now we don't like abortion, so the abortionists have changed that word even. Now they take the killing of a baby and they call that abortion, but they said, no. Let's see if we can get a nicer sounding phrase. And so they call it pro-choice. Doesn't that sound a lot better than abortion? Certainly sounds better than infanticide. But you know, they didn't like that so much. They said, let's get something better than pro-choice. Let's use reproductive rights. And then, oh no, that's not enough. Let's call it reproductive freedom. No, let's call it killing babies. Amen. Let's call it killing babies rather than reproductive freedom. But you see, we don't like the idea of sin. You know, the Bible speaks of lust. But we don't call it lust. What do we call it? Adult entertainment. And we look around and we see the rape, sexual violence, and immorality in our land. But the word lust sounds too much like sin, doesn't it? The Bible calls sexual immorality fornication. The Bible calls it adultery. Do you know what we call it? Sexually active. That's what they call fornication today. That teenager is sexually active. And what do we call adultery? Having an affair. You see what we've done? You know what the Bible calls a woman who sells sex? The Bible calls her a whore and a harlot. You know what the Bible calls a man who pays for her services? The Bible calls him a whoremonger. What do we call her today? A call girl. What do we call him today? A playboy. The Bible calls sexual perversion sodomy. Calls these people who do this sodomites. What do we call them today? Homosexuals. We call them gays. What do we call it today? An alternative lifestyle, as if God has several lifestyles and you can pick the one you want. What have we done? We have defined sin out of existence. But the Bible calls sin, sin, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man is a sinner because of what he is. He is by nature a child of wrath. A man is a sinner because of what he does, and he does what he does because he is what he is. But what does our text say? What does the Bible say that the Holy Spirit has come to convict men of? Look again, if you will, and see what the Bible says in verse 9. He has come to convict men of sin because they believe not on me. Now that's the part most of us can understand thus far. But when we get to this part, then we see that the Holy Spirit of God convicts a man of sin, not only because of what he is, not only because of what he has done, but the Bible convicts him of sin because of what he has not done. Of sin, because he believes not. When you talk about sin, telling lies, stealing, lust, the average American says, well, yes, everybody's got his little faults. Everybody makes mistakes. But I don't think that God would let me go to hell forever because I told a lie. That would be like putting a man in the penitentiary for life, for stealing a loaf of bread. Oh, friend, when you understand the nature of sin, you can't help the way you were born. And therefore, you do what you do because you were born with a sinful nature. But, oh, there is a sin, a damning sin, a horrible sin, a wicked sin, a vile sin, a terrible sin, a condemning sin that most of the world never thinks about. Do you know what it is? Not believing on Jesus Christ. Not believing on Jesus Christ. Of sin, because they believe not on me. What is sin? Sin is a clenched fist in the face of God. Sin is failing to bow the knee. Sin is high treason against heaven's King. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you that. When you see that you are guilty of high treason against heaven's King, that you have never bowed the knee to your Maker, the one who died in agony and blood for you upon that cross, when you see that you've ignored, spurned, refused Him, then you'll understand why the Bible calls you a sinner. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of that. Put this verse in your memory, in your margin, John 3, verse 18. Jesus said concerning himself, the Son of Man, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unbelief is the greatest sin. And unbelief is the parent sin. It is the mother sin, the father sin, the sin out of which all other sins have grown. It was unbelief that caused Adam and Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden. Holy Spirit of God, help me to say this. A courtroom may convict you of crimes. Conscience will convict you of wrongdoing. But only the Holy Spirit of God will truly convict you of sin. When you understand what sin is, you'll not be strutting your way to hell thinking you're too good to be damned. When you understand that you have said no to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never really opened your heart and received Him as your Lord and Savior, then you will say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Holy Spirit of God teaches, first of all, a true conception of sin because they believe not. Here's the second truth the Holy Spirit will teach you. Something you'll never learn in school. Not only the conception of sin, but the completion of salvation. The completion of salvation. Look, if you will, now in the next verse, verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. He comes to convict of sin and of righteousness. To give a conception of sin and to show the completion of salvation. Now, why does he say of righteousness? Because I go to my Father. Well, he left the Father's house. He came down through that dark Judean night, out of the ivory palaces, into this world of woe. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He came to that cross. He took my sin, your sin, our sin upon that cross. He suffered, bled, and died in agony, unmentionable, indescribable horror and pain. He died upon that cross. He was laid in that cold tomb. He came out of that tomb the third day, living, risen, victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. He ascended to the Father to present his blood there before the Father in that tabernacle in heaven. That's what he's talking about when he says, I go to my Father. I am going back to my Father. It is done. I have paid the price for redemption. And now there is one way, one and only one way that a man can be righteous. It is through my death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back to the Father. Now only the Holy Spirit of God can teach you that, because man is ignorant. He is ignorant not only concerning sin, he's also ignorant concerning righteousness. What does the average person think? The average person thinks he is a sinner if he does wrong, so therefore he is righteous if he does right. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the average person thinks? The average person thinks that righteousness comes by doing and being good. Put this verse in your margin. Romans 10 and verse 3. Paul spoke of the Jews of his day. And here's what he said about them. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now listen to this. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The only hope that a man has of righteousness is Jesus.
Do you agree with that today? That the only hope you have of righteousness is Jesus. If you have questions about who he is, what he means to you, how to receive his righteousness on your life, go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources there and materials that can answer many of your questions that you have about your faith. Again, go to lwf.org/radio. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, Three Things You Cannot Learn in School. This message is also part of the powerful series, Putting First Things First, How to Have Eternal Life. If you'd like the complete collection, all six insightful messages, call us 1-877-LOVE-GOD or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying with us in God's Word today. Perhaps you've felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit while you've listened. If so, this is good news. What you do about it is crucial. Remember, a courtroom may convict you of crimes. Conscience will convict you of wrongdoing. But only the Holy Spirit will truly convict you of sin. Confess your sin to God. Get your heart right before Him. And we'll hear the powerful conclusion of Three Things You Cannot Learn in School tomorrow, right here on Love Worth Finding. We love hearing from listeners around the country and around the world. Here's something a listener from Nigeria sent. I once had a walk with God, but I became too proud. I never knew my actions, especially in resisting the Holy Spirit in evangelizing, would cost me so much. I couldn't tell right from wrong. I stopped hearing God's voice. I yearned for the leading of the Holy Spirit again. Today, I dedicated my life to Jesus anew. I look forward to having a strong walk with Him through this ministry. Thank you, Love Worth Finding. We are so honored to share these convicting messages with listeners like this one in Nigeria. And that's why this month, as a thank you for your generous support, we want to send you our Walk by Faith booklet collection. Request the bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can give online at lwf.org/radio.